individuals one day talking about their different churches. Both of them of different kinds of churches, and yet one was of the churches of Christ. When the question came up about different differences, one of the things that came up was, where do you find in the Bible the name of which you are called, or by which you are called? And the individual looked and couldn't find it, and says, well, where is your name? So the person began to show Acts 11:26. And then Acts 26:28, 1 Peter 4, verse 16, where it says they were called Christians. It says, well, what are you? I'm just a Christian. They said, well, that's what I am. Then why don't you just call yourself by that? Where's the name of your church? And they said, well, where's the name of your church? And this person said, well, you read over here in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. Well, I'm a member of the church of Christ. According to that verse, it says, then why do you call yourself what you call yourself? Where's the name? And then here's this statement. Well, there's really nothing in a name. I don't know how many of you have ever heard that particular statement, but trust me, many, many years ago, that was often said. Matter of fact, it's almost like quoting Shakespeare. You know, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. There's nothing in a name. Well, today we're going to look at Acts 4, verses 17 and 18, and we're going to talk about, is there really anything in a name? And there are many, many passages in the New Testament in particular that point out the fact that names have connotations, and that sometimes when a person is trying to pass off the idea that a name doesn't mean anything, when you press the point and show the practical application of it, they will have to ultimately admit, yeah, there really is something about a name. In the fourth chapter of Acts, the Jewish leaders who are against Christ, and therefore against those who work for Christ, make this statement, particularly to Peter and to John. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, think about the concept, there's nothing in a name, and then these two verses. Everything that Peter and John and really all the other apostles are doing are all in the name of Jesus, right? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, okay? So the picture is there was something they were using, a name they were using, by which they backed their authority up as apostles. And the authority came from heaven, came from Christ. All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. So everything they're doing is referencing the authority from heaven that's found in Jesus. If there's nothing in a name, or is there anything in a name, evidently Acts 4:17 and 18 would make that point. But again, think about the fact, that really there's nothing in a name. Well, what about if there was a paycheck that was supposed to have your name on it, came to you whenever you get paid, and it had somebody else's name on it? Would it matter to you if your paycheck did not come with your name on it? See, there's nothing in a name, right? Well, what about if you're traveling abroad and you've got a passport and you've got somebody else's name in there with your picture? Does it matter if your name, literally your name, is accurately put in that passport? Okay. Or what about a will, a last will and testament? What if all of a sudden you say, well, there's nothing in a name. My name's not in that will. Somebody else's is. But actually, I'm as much a part of that will as anybody else. The names in a will that identify who gets what, okay, and who gets and who doesn't get, does it matter at all what's in a name? I think we'd all agree that all three of those and many, many other examples show the fact that the practical application of a name is very, very serious. You know, the name on your paycheck, the name in your passport, the name in your will, the name anywhere for that matter. Listen, I've even been criticized at a graveside service for mispronouncing the last name of the deceased. I was called to a funeral down in Morgan County, and sort of on the spur of the moment. I didn't know a soul down there. Not even the funeral home director did I know that changed hands. And the person's last name was Radliff, R-A-D-L-I-F-F. Well, when I was told that, all I had in my head was Radcliffe, R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F. So the entire funeral service down there at the grave, I said, Mr. Radcliffe, over and over and over, I used Radcliffe. And I remember as soon as the amen was said at the final prayer and I'm walking away from the family, this man under his breath said, Radcliffe. By the way, I did hear it. And I thought, well, there must be something in a name. Even if you're close, it still does matter, right? I just left out, I put in a little letter, C, right? Well, there is a very serious concept you'll find in the Bible with reference to names. How about Proverbs 22 and verse 1? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, there's a verse about a name, right? And by the way, how about a bad name? If there's nothing in a name, a bad name's as good as a good name, right? Nothing in a name. Gus Nichols one time was talking about, what if someone walked up to you and called your wife Fido? Hi, Fido, Sister Fido, how are you doing today? Would you be offended at that? He said, well, Fido is the name of a dog. You're calling my wife a dog. I said, there's nothing in a name. He said, have you ever thought about why people don't name their children, if it's a daughter, Jezebel? Or they don't name their child Judas? I know there's some Jews, but there's a book in the Bible named Jude, right? Judas, like Judas Iscariot? Or how about Haman? Anybody know if anybody's walking around on this earth with the name Haman out of the book of Esther? So there's nothing in a name, right? No, names have connotations. Names have connotations. Look at Luke chapter 1, verses 59 and 60. Here is Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they have a child, right? Now, Zechariah is unable to speak, at least for a little while. As soon as this child is born, they're going to bring him to the temple to be circumcised, and that's when the name is identified. So they ask the question, what are you going to name him? Elizabeth basically says, his name will be John. They said, there's no lineage of a name John in Zechariah's entire family. John? And so they motioned to Zechariah, and he called for a writing, and he says his name will be called John. Well, where did the name John come from? It's not in his lineage. By the way, the angel named that child. And the angel told them, this is what you will call it. By the way, did you know in Matthew 1, Joseph was told by an angel, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See, if there's nothing in a name, why would an angel tell, you're going to call him this, you're going to name him this? By the way, think about this. Did God change the name of Abram to Abraham? Did God change the name of Sarai to Sarah? Did God change the name of Jacob to Israel? If there's nothing in a name, why did God change the name? What about James 2 and verse 7? When James is writing to the fact that you're showing respect of persons to the rich versus the poor, and he says, and here's what these rich do. He says, do they not despise that worthy name by the which you are called? You mean this name has a worth? That's right. And let's think about that one. This name, this worthy name, is foretold in the Old Testament. It was a special name. I know over in Ghana, in West Africa, the custom is among those people, if they ever obey the gospel, they actually take on what we would call a Bible name, or they call a Bible name. I don't know what Timothy Negrilli's first name really is, but when he was born as an African over in Ghana, he had a totally different first name, and his name is Timothy when he became a Christian. By the way, you know what his brother's name is? His brother's first name is Daniel. By the way, that's not an African name. By the way, Timothy's not an African name either. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I could even pronounce their African name except Negrili. I heard Steve say that so much, and Candy, I sort of picked that out. But the idea is what? In the Old Testament, in Isaiah in particular, turn to Isaiah 56, verse 5, and in Isaiah 62, there is a reference here to the future time and the coming of this kingdom. In Isaiah 56, it has reference to those that are eunuchs and those that are strangers, you know, sons of the stranger, which means they're not Israelites. By the way, when you were born an Israelite, you are called an Israelite. By the way, remember Joseph when he was in Egypt? They called him a Hebrew, that Hebrew. Well, they're called Israelites. Well, the picture here is they're going to be given another name. Verse 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place. In other words, they're going to have a place or a position and a name. What kind of name? A name better name than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Now, question. According to Isaiah 56 and verse 5, who's going to give the name? Who is it who's speaking here? I know it's through Isaiah, but who's doing the talking? It's God Almighty, the Lord. The Lord said he's going to give these people a name better than of a son and a daughter. You ever thought about some of the Hebrew names that have the letters E-L in them? E-L? The Hebrew word for God, in short, Elohim, can be shortened to E-L, meaning God, like Israel. He who wrestles with God. Okay? Samuel. He who was asked of God. See, anytime you had E-L in a name, that meant there was a connotation with that. As a matter of fact, a lot of people will name their children either their Bible names or their family names or things like that. Just to keep the line going, to keep the name going. Not just the last name, even the first name. Sometimes even the middle names. Well, this verse predicted the day is coming in which a son of a stranger, a Gentile in the flesh, is going to have a name better than a son and a daughter of Israel. By the way, for having a New Testament, you and I know what that means, right? Having a New Testament. Turn now to Isaiah 66. Turn a few pages. Look at this verse, chapter 66 and verse 2. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name. Now, is he talking to the about the Jews, or is he talking about the Gentiles here? Gentiles. How many of you have ever been called heathen? You heathen? Pagan? Alien? Foreigner? Stranger? Well, so that's what the Jews call Gentiles. The day's coming when the kingdom is going to be set up. Even a son of a stranger is going to be given an everlasting name. And by the way, the rest of verse 2 says, who's going to give them this name? It says, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Hey, how many of you have ever been called a name by somebody? Generally, when they call you a name, it's an insult, right? If God calls you by a new name, that's not insulting. See, Isaiah 56 and 5 says it's an everlasting name, better than of sons and of daughters. Isaiah 66 and verse 2 says it's a new name, a brand new name, a name never been used in the whole history of the Israelite nation that was coming in the future. And it would be spoken by the mouth of God through those representatives down here on earth so that people would know what that name is. Now listen. Before we go to Acts 11 and verse 26, if you didn't have the New Testament, what's the meaning of these verses? If you didn't have a New Testament, we wouldn't know what this meant. Can you and I see how privileged we are by having a New Testament? To read the Old Testament, let the New Testament expound exactly what these verses mean? See, these were promises. They were all looking forward to that. By the way, to have this new name carries with the idea of acceptance. You're going to be better than of sons and daughters. You're in the in crowd, so to speak. You're not on the outside looking in. You're on the inside now. And there's a name that is given to you, a connotation by which all people will recognize who you are. So then when you go to Acts 11, verse 26, what does it say? That here's Paul and Barnabas. They continue at Antioch for about a year. And it says, and the disciples, they were already called disciples, right? Matter of fact, they were disciples starting in Acts 2. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. By the way, that means the apostles were their teachers. That makes them disciples. So they were called Christians first in Antioch. The word called there is, quite, by the way, quite an interesting word in the original language. It literally means one divinely called. You don't necessarily see it in the English, but you would in the original language. That same word is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, when it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God. That phrase, warned of God, is the exact same word, root, as this word, called, Christians, first in Antioch. It wasn't the enemies of members of the church that were calling them Christians. They were divinely called Christians, beginning in Antioch. And then that's when you come down to Acts 26 and verse 28, which I didn't cite here, but you could keep studying this. What did Agrippa already understand about these people that were following this Jesus? Almost thou persuadest me to be a what? This word, right? He'd heard that word. He knew the prophets. What about 1 Peter 4, verse 16? By the way, could you suffer if you were a Christian? Simply being a Christian. If any man suffers a Christian, let him do what? Well, there's nothing in a name. I'm not going to suffer for that name. Let him glorify God in his behalf. Let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in his behalf. So, this name is special. This word, Christian. And to be one is special. Then there is a word that will save the soul. By the way, not just the speaking of it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, anything. But this is a name above every name. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus says to the apostles before he ascends into heaven, and thus it was written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead. Watch the verse 47. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You see, is there anything in a name? Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. When you come to Acts 4 and verse 12, when they were trying to forbid Peter and John from doing anything in the name of Jesus, you know what Peter says? Guided by the Holy Spirit, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. Romans 7 and verse 4, it talks about that a man is bound to the law so long as a man is alive, and also in the marriage relationship is bound to her husband so long as her husband lives. But if he be dead, though she be married to another, she should not be called an adulteress. It says, therefore, you're no longer under the law that you might be married to another. Well, who is this married to another thing? It's referring to Christ. When you come to Ephesians 5, 23, it says, for as the husband is the head of the wife, even also Christ is the head of the church. And he's the Savior. Savior of who? Savior of the body. Well, what's the body? It's the church. See, when a girl, by very custom, based upon biblical precedent, when a girl marries a guy, do you know what her name does? You know what happens to that name? It changes. Name changes. Why? Because the relationship has changed. By the way, what about a lady who's married and someone calls her Miss So-and-so? I'm not Miss, I'm Mrs. Well, there's nothing in her name. Nothing in her term. No, there is. If an individual gains an earned doctorate degree, sometimes what do these fellows and ladies want beside their name? What do they want? How do they want to be introduced sometimes? As doctor, right? Not medical, doctor so-and-so. Well, the idea is what? Words have meanings. Not only do they have meanings, they have connotations. Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Even in a marriage relationship, you have left Satan, you have left the world, and now you are married to Christ. So what do you take on? What do you get when all of a sudden a person is baptized into Jesus Christ? You get a new name. What is that name? Everlasting name. Better than sons and daughters. Better than any Israelite name. A name that God gave to man. What do they call? What is this divine name? It's called Christian. By the way, if I'm a follower of Christ, why would I want to be called by any other name than the name of Christ, right? Church of Christ, Christian. Why would I want any other name than that? What do these other names do for a person? Did you know the word Christian is not a divisive term? There ain't anything divisive about that. There ain't anything denominational about that. Do you know what makes things divisive? Do you know what makes things denominational? It's when you start using terms that aren't Bible terms. Because now you are narrowing down, literally, you're narrowing down the segment. By the way, it's in the word sect or sectarian. You're narrowing down this group different from what God intended for the whole world to be. Jesus prayed for unity in John 17. The apostles preached it and strove to produce it all through the world. And yet, what does the world do? Well, there's nothing in a name. No, there is. As a matter of fact, in names, you have the difference between what you can know for sure and what you can probably determine to be a counterfeit. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, a principle of the Bible says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the what? Oracle of God, which means to use the term as God gave it. This is the heart of the restoration movement that started in this country a little over 200 years ago, but really was a principle that went all the way back to Acts 2. Only follow what God says in this will, this New Testament. Call things by Bible names. What does that do? It eliminates confusion. It totally eliminates confusion by using the terms of the Bible and following the practices of the Bible. Everybody now knows who you are. And if that were not so much more serious, 1 Corinthians 14:33, 1 Peter 4:11, what about Colossians 3:17? And whatsoever you do in word or in deed. Folks, this is not optional. This is a command of Scripture. Do all, A-double-L. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Said, is there anything in a name? Anything in a name according to those verses right there? When the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, was dealing with internal division, by calling things as God calls them, that literally promoted proper understanding. And it also promoted the unity that you find in the New Testament church. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of, I beseech you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now, what mind is that? Human judgment? No. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In the same mind. In the same judgment. That's not talking about human judgment. I'm talking about inspired judgment. Judgment as you find read in Scripture. So the question comes up, what name should a person who is saved, what name should he take on? He should take on a new name. What new name is that? The name whom you're now married to. The name who's now the head over the church. And whose name is that? That name is Christ. So therefore, what am I? Christian. What else am I? Nothing else. Just Christian. What church did the Lord add you to when you obeyed the gospel? The church that Jesus said he would build. The church that the apostles were in. The church that the apostles wrote about. What church is that? Well, Romans 16, 16 says churches of Christ. Well, I'm not of that. Well, why not? Well, I'm of this. Well, how did you become that? What name do you wear? You know, there are people that wear names that are based upon people's names. How about Luther? They're named after certain kinds of doctrines. Literally, doctrines. Methods. Baptism. So, why use such names if the Bible name is Christian? Christian. And the church is identified here as the churches of Christ. Each one of these were congregations called churches of Christ. Can you imagine if the entire religious world that all believed, claimed to believe in Jesus, and again, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 verse 10 and then 12 to 13, which says, I of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. By the way, very idea that you got four different names shows there's something in a name, right? Can you imagine the I of Paul people calling themselves the I of Cephas crowd? They're not going to do that. No, this is my group. And you know what Paul said? Let there be no, zero, divisions among you. Then he asked the question, is Christ divided? And the answer is no. Then he says, was Paul crucified for you? All right, who was crucified for you? The answer is Christ, right? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He uses his own name. Let's see, there's nothing in a name. Oh, there is something in a name. Because you're baptized in the name of Christ. It's his name. There's the saving name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. Therefore, your baptism is through Christ. The name you wear is through Christ. The church you're in is of Christ. See, it does matter. Many, many, many years ago, listen, those of you who are young, the older ones will get this anyway. Many years ago, these kinds of sermons, like what I preach today, these are the kinds of sermons that were preached in brush arbors and tent meetings right and left. That it did matter what name you wore. It didn't matter what church you were in, the one the Lord built, the one the Lord added you to. It did and it does matter. And do you know what people who believe their Bible and who are honest and straightforward and wanted to do? Do you know what people were doing right and left that wore sectarian names? You know what they did? You know what they did, right? Some of them were your grandparents. Some of them might have very well been your parents. Some of them very well in this audience might very well have been you. Because the first thing you're going to notice about differences in religious groups is what? What's the first thing you're going to notice? All right, I'm going to illustrate it. You're driving down I-75 in Florida. By the way, this happened many, many, many years ago. I don't think Hannah was even born. I think Benjamin and Daniel were in the back seat, headed down I-75. How many church buildings do you drive by on Highway 75 when you go through all these towns in Florida? I couldn't even tell you how many there are. And all of a sudden, here's a child in the back seat, and he's reading the names. Because, by the way, you see a building, you realize there's something on top of it called a steeple or something, and all of a sudden, there's a name. Isn't that the first thing you notice when you're just driving by? And all of a sudden, your child in the back seat asks the question by reading this name that they're unfamiliar with. Daddy, is that a good church? Now I ask you the question. How do you answer that question? This child is totally oblivious to what that name on that wall is talking about and who meets there. Totally innocent. Daddy, is that a good church? What do my religious neighbors tell me to say to him? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. A church by any other name doesn't matter. Do you know there are even some in churches of Christ now that are ashamed of the name? Did you know that? It started out instead of being name of location, Church of Christ. Then it says name of location, church. A church of Christ. Do you know that? And then it's not long. You just take off Christ off the sign altogether. So I ask you the question. Is there anything really in a name? If there isn't anything really in a name, why are they taking the name out? I think that's a good question. And young folks need to know. Daddy, is that a good church? So my answer was a question. The question is, what did it say? Well, it said that. I said, do you read that in the Bible? No. What do you read in the Bible? You read in the Bible, like Romans 16:16. What do people call themselves who are of Christ? What are they identified as? What is Acts 11? They're called Christians. Then, son, that's your answer. What would this world be like if everywhere you drove and there was a building of a religious assembly and it simply said, Churches of Christ meet here? And you walked in and everybody there has obeyed the one faith that includes the one baptism that puts you in the one body that gives you the one hope. What would this world be like? Instead of all this religious division we got out here. Is there anything in a name? The Bible says there is. Today, give up anything that's man-made, man-attached, man's doctrine, man's belief. And accept that which has unified hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people down through the centuries. Wear just the name Christian. And let the Lord add you to His church. The one you do read about. And whose name is given in the New Testament. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? You're willing to turn from sin and repentance. Confess the faith you have in Christ. Today be baptized to Christ. Put that name on. New name. Everlasting name. One greater than sons and daughters. And the Lord add you to His church. Upon this rock I will build my church. Not just a church. My church. And in Acts 2, that's where the beginning was. The Lord added to the church daily. They're being converted daily, such as should or were being saved. And by the way, is the Apostle Paul in the right church? Would you say the Apostle Paul was in the right church? Then this is the church he wrote about. And therefore, wear the name he wore, Christian. He died as a Christian. As a matter of fact, he was there in Acts 11:26 in Antioch, right? He was the one that Agrippa spoke directly to in Acts 26:28, right? Paul was nothing but a Christian. That's all he was. No other name, no other connotation. Brother Kenny's going to lead us in a song. Maybe you need to come back to your first love. Rededicate your life. We're here to help you in any way. Won't you come then as we stand, as we sing. Amen.